Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to worship God. Thank you for the songs we've heard this morning, the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for all those who've gathered here in the house of God this morning. Lord, I do not believe it's by accident that we are here. And we pray that the Spirit of the Lord would minister in this congregation, accomplish your will and your purpose here this morning. I pray that some soul would be saved, someone sanctified, someone filled with the Holy Ghost, someone healed by the power of God. Lord Jesus, I pray that our minds would be directed to you this morning. We give you the glory and honor. Jesus, worthy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach to you this morning for a few minutes on the cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. My text pictures the Christian life as a foot race, with the former winners of that race sitting in the grandstand. They are the cloud of witnesses. They are saints from the past who have run this race and run it successfully. And now then, they are sitting in the grandstands. They are the cloud of witnesses. The previous chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, names some of those people in the grandstand: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Moses, and the list goes on. And these are the people that by faith they obtained the favor of God. By faith they finished the race. By faith they are now in the grandstand observing those of us who are running this race for Jesus. And that crowd of witnesses did not stop at the end of the Old Testament. In fact, there have been many witnesses who have gathered in those grandstands since the time of the Old Testament. Paul is there. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of them that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul is there. Peter is there. And James is there. And John is there. And not only the apostles, but the saints of the ages for thousands of years now have been assembling in those grandstands, joining that cloud of witnesses, watching us run our race. I know some people in those grandstands. Hallelujah. I know some of them personally. That's in the grandstands right now, watching us as we run this race. The Bible tells us that we are in this race. We're to run it with patience, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, to drop all hindrances to our running this race. We are being observed as we run this race. We're being observed how we're running this race. And it matters to the people in the grandstand how you are running your race. It's important to them. Some of them know you personally. And it is important to them how you are running your race. It's important for us to not forget those people who have run the race before us. We are to be aware of the grandstand. We're to be aware of those people who have gone before us. We are not to forget the saints of the ages past. We look back to them. We look back to them for inspiration. Everybody in those grandstands have been where you are. They have faced the same things you face. They've gone through the same sufferings you're going through, and they made it. And when we look into those grandstands, we see the faces of people who have suffered for the gospel. We see the faces of people who have been burned at the stake. We see the faces of people who have been thrown to the lion. We see the faces of people who have fasted and prayed and fought the battle through the years, and who are veterans, brother, of this warfare. We look into those stands, and we see people who have wept and cried and suffered, and they have made it. Hallelujah. And they are there now. They're winners. They're victors. And we look to them for inspiration. So while we are suffering, we know somebody else has been down this road. Oh, hallelujah. And they made it. Thank God. They made it. And they're an inspiration to us as we look into the grandstands. But we don't just look to them for inspiration. We look to them for direction. These people, they made it. Hallelujah. And we look to them for direction. Now understand, not everybody that claimed to be a Christian in the ages past are there. Just those who were genuine Christians. Just those who were genuine believers. Just those who overcame. They are the ones that are sitting in those grandstands. Talking to a man this week, witnessed unto him, and he's talking like we're all on the same road. We're all going to go to heaven. I said, well, not all of us. You know, just some of us are going to go there. Just some. Some. He's talking like every denomination. They're all going. I said, well, some Baptists are going. And some Presbyterians are going. And some holiness people are going. And some Pentecostal people are going. But not everybody's going. It's just those who are real believers, true followers of Jesus Christ, who sold out to the Son of God. Those people in those grandstands, brother, they are genuine believers. These are followers of Jesus. These are people who obeyed the gospel, who obeyed the commands of God. These people in the grandstands are people who are genuine believers. By faith, they're seated in the grandstands. So we look to them for direction. We understand that these people kept the course. They stayed the course to the very end. It matters how you run this race. It matters whether or not you stay on the course. It's very easy to take a detour, try a shortcut, but you're not going to win unless you stay on the course. I read about a man who was running a race, and then there was a fork in the road where they were running this race. And he went this way. He looked behind him, and there were others going the other way. And they said to him, hey, come, go this way. He said, no, this is the right way. They all went that way. He went this way. When the race was over, he won because he stayed on the right track. They were on the wrong track. And brother, I'm telling you, it don't matter how many people take that other course. You stay on the course that's right. You stay on the course that's marked out by the Word of God. You stay on the course that you know is the right way, brother. It's going to pay off. It don't matter what other people are doing, which way they're going. You go the way that you know is right and is truth. We look at these people. We are inspired by them. We are We are directed by their lives. We see how they lived, how they conducted themselves. In fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us that we're to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. It matters who you mark out as your heroes. It matters who you mark out as your as people to imitate. Oh yeah, brother, the heroes of your life ought to be the people of God who live wholeheartedly for Jesus. Praise God. Oh my, some people admire the worldlings, you know. They admire their success in the world. They admire their possessions. They admire their fame. They admire the applause of the world and sort of pattern after them and steer their life in that direction. But I say, let me go in the direction that those people went that are sitting in the grandstand. They followed the Lord wholeheartedly. They denied themselves. They took up their cross and they were wholehearted for Jesus. This is the people sitting in the grandstand. We look back to them for inspiration. We look back to them for direction. We see what made them successful. They were wholehearted followers of the Lord. Now, the people in that grandstand are concerned about you and me. They're looking on this race because they're concerned about us. And their concern goes beyond just what happens to us. They are concerned about what happens to us. They're concerned about what did we do with the heritage that they left us. There are people in those grandstands that gave their life to hand you a Bible. I'm telling you, brother, people in that grandstand shed their blood to hand you a Bible that you could read in your own language. They want to know, what are you doing with that Bible? They shed their blood so you could have that Bible in your hands. They want to know, what are you doing with what they gave you at the price of their blood? Are y'all listening to me? Y'all hearing me? There are people in that grandstand. They shed their blood for the success of the kingdom of God. They shed their blood so that the truth could be passed on down to me and you. They were faithful to Christ to the point of giving their life. And they look on us, and here we are, caught up in this world system. No time to pray. No time to seek God. Hardly, scarcely, you know, find any time to read the Word of God. And hit and miss in the house of God. And these people gave their life for this and passed down the truth to us. And they're concerned about, what are we doing with the heritage that they passed on down to us? These people sold out to Jesus. These people lived a life of holiness and righteousness. I'm telling you, everybody in those grandstands is somebody that lived a life of holiness and righteousness. These were not worldlings. These were people separated from the world. They lived a life of holiness and righteousness, and they're concerned whether or not you are living a life of holiness and righteousness. They're concerned about what you are doing with the heritage that they passed on to you. They're concerned about what we are doing with the souls that they bequeathed us. Did you know, every generation that passes, there's somebody they've influenced for Christ, and they have to leave those people in the hands of someone else. Sister Lane back there had a father who was a pastor. He taught her, instructed her. Her mother was with us here for some time in this church. They were holiness people, dedicated, devoted people. And now then, here is Sister Lane sitting on the pews of this church. She is entrusted to me and to this church right here. She is a soul. She's a soul that's been bequeathed by a former generation to us. They're concerned about what we're going to do with the souls that they bequeathed us. They fought for the souls of people. They prayed for the souls of people. They taught souls to get them to heaven. And now then here we are in this generation, bequeathed those souls. They're concerned about what are we going to do with the souls that have been bequeathed to us. Brother, all across the Pentecostal movement, there are souls sitting on church pews that were birthed by people who loved God, who are concerned about the truth, who live the right way. And now then, those people who have been given to another generation. This generation despises the past, despises the people that paid the price and swam these souls to Jesus, and has no intentions of teaching them the ways of God. In fact, have led them astray from the paths of holiness and righteousness. I'm telling you, there's a lot of disappointed people in heaven when we fail to keep teaching and preaching the thing that saved the people. Are y'all listening to me? Oh yeah. There's a multitude of witnesses looking on, concerned about the souls that have been bequeathed to another generation. And we are responsible to keep the truth going in this generation. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. My grandparents taught my parents. My parents taught me. I've taught my children. Now my children have got children. It is important. Listen, I know that soon I'll be stepping off the scene. But it is important to me, really critical to me, that the truth not die in my family. Oh no. I don't want my children, my grandchildren, following the ways of the world. Oh no. You know, there's never been a television in my home. Not when I was growing up. Never been one in my home since I've been a grown man. Somebody say, you missed the television? Miss it. Never had it. Don't you feel deprived? Deprived? Blessed. You ought to try it. Yeah. You ought to try. I feel blessed. I ain't had that distraction. I ain't had that temptation. Thank God. It's not a curse for me to have lived my life without one. It's a blessing, brother. Oh, yeah. And far as I know, none of my children have one in their home. I hope none of my grandchildren ever have one in their home. Because I'm telling you, that is the world right there on your screen. And people get all wrapped up in it. They get wrapped up in the world. They fall in love with the world on their screen. And, you know, what's happened to us over the years is that the morals of Hollywood have become the morals of the United States of America. You think Hollywood hadn't had an influence on us? We used to hear, you know, in Hollywood, this actress been married 7 or 8 times. We thought it was horrible. That's your next door neighbor. I mean, it's all over. Marriage vows are said with cross fingers. Don't really mean it. And we've watched the morals of Hollywood become the morals of our nation. I'm telling you, I am praying that every child and grandchild in my family takes seriously the vows they make before the altar and before God, till death do us part. Amen. Oh yeah, I don't feel like backing up on that, compromising on that. I know that's the will of God, brother. I know that's the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory. I know a separated life is the will of God. You're not going to get to heaven
You know, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I mean, that's just plain as it can be. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You do not have the love of God in you if you have the love of the world in you. And so God, here we are. We are inheritors of the truth. What are we going to do with it? I'm telling you that many, many people have not esteemed the truth that's been handed down to them. And they have failed to pass it on to the next generation. Somebody dropped the ball. So this is important, those people, in the stands of what we do with the truth that they've passed on down to us. It really matters to them. Hallelujah. And so these people in the stands, they're watching us as we run our race. They want to know, did we finish the task that they left unfinished? They were building the kingdom. They were winning souls. They were teaching and preaching the truth. And they are wondering, are we going to keep up the task that they gave their lives to and died, leaving it unfinished? I remember, some of you might remember old Brother Furrow. He was from up in the Roanoke area, I think. And any of y'all remember old Brother Furrow? Anybody here remember old Brother Furrow? A few of you do. He was just a little man. Little preacher. Every time he preached, before he got through, he'd be preaching on the Holy Ghost. And he died, and years afterward, his son, Carl, got saved. And my father-in-law was in a service where Carl was preaching. Carl's been here in this church not too long ago, visiting. And Carl was preaching. He said, while Carl was preaching, all of a sudden he stopped and looked up and said, Dad, how well am I doing? Praise God. Oh my. You know, I got Dad over yonder in those grandstands now. And I know he's concerned about what I'm doing with this gospel and how I'm preaching the Word of God. Every time I'd see him just about before I'd leave, he'd hug my neck and cry. And he'd tell me, son, you keep on preaching holiness. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So, you know, we ought to look at those grandstands sometime and say, how well am I doing? Am I doing all right with what you bequeathed me? Am I holding up the light that you handed to me? It matters to them. I'm telling you, it matters to them in the grandstand. Our concern is this, that we not leave behind an unfinished task. And this is the encouragement that we receive. We look in the grandstand. We see the faces of those who have run this race before us and completed it and gave us the task of continuing what they begun. And our focus is not merely on those people in the grandstands. Our focus is on a particular person in those grandstands. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said for us to consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We get courage from this face in the grandstand, the face of Jesus, because he's watching us as we run this race, and he's encouraging us and telling us you can make it, thank God, because Jesus has provided everything we need in order to run a successful race. Our focus is on Christ, but we understand this, brother and sister, listen to me now, we understand this, that by the grace of God, this is what we want to do. At the end of our journey, we want to join that crowd in the grandstand. We want to become part of that crowd of witnesses that's up there right now watching us run the race and encouraging us in the race. We want to become part of that crowd of witnesses. Praise God. Oh my. When we are faithful to God, when we when we keep on holding up the light of truth, when we keep on preaching and living and teaching the truth, someday, brethren, someday we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and we'll be given a place in the grandstands with the faithful of the past. This is what we're aiming for. This is where we want to go. We want to join that crowd of witnesses in the grandstand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. Well, I'm glad to be saved. I'm telling you, Sister Lane, I'm glad and thankful for those people who taught me the truth, told me about Jesus, told me about the Word of God, held up the light in my life. I'm grateful to those people. And I want, when I leave here, I want to leave behind a witness. And people would say, "Thank God for that man that told me the truth, held up the light of truth, preached to me what I needed to hear in order to go to heaven." We were coming home, preached Friday night before Brother Scott Aslan up in Powhatan. On the way home Saturday morning, we stopped at a little flea market. Actually, we didn't stop for the flea market, but we stopped to take care of some boiled peanuts. She loves boiled peanuts. So we're going to get her some boiled peanuts. And it'll close. But had a little flea market going on out beside the place there. So we walked over there. And this Jew was buying something from this lady, and I maybe asked her about something. She was selling there. And she was selling some a game of cricket. And I could tell by her speech she was American. "Where are you from, England?" "Yeah, from England." "How long have you been here?" "7 years." "We're moving to France." "Yeah? Well, are you a believer in Jesus?" "Well, yes. "Well, have you been born again in the Spirit of God?" "Don't need to be. I'm a member of the Church of England." "Well, how did you become a member of the Church of England? Were you baptized into the church?" "No, I was Christian." So I began to press her a little bit. And she said, "I don't want to talk about that now." I said, "Well, I'd like to see you in heaven." She said, "Well, you probably will." She said, "I think this is heaven here." "Oh no. It's a better world than this. There's a cloud of witnesses above us, looking on at us. There's a better world than this. Only way you're going to get there is if you're born again of the Spirit of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Praise God. Hallelujah. I have a cousin. He's 67 years old and never made a profession of faith in his life. His dad was a holiness preacher. Never made a profession of faith in his life. He just had serious surgery. I talked to him yesterday. I said, "Frazier, I've been praying for you." He said, "I appreciate it." He said, "I'm doing good." He said, "I'm glad to hear that, Frazier. So I'm praying for something more than that. I'm praying for good news about your soul. I want to hear some good news about your soul." He said, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. Frazier, I'm praying. I'm praying for good news about your soul. Frazier's planning. He's planning on giving his heart to the Lord. He's 67 years old and never made a profession of faith. I'm going to tell you what the devil's plan for him is. The devil's plan is to keep him putting it off another day. And another week, and another year, until he slides him into hell with good intentions of making things right with God. Many a soul in hell right now They intended to get things right with God. The devil destroyed them with good intentions of getting right with God somewhere down the road. Somewhere down the road. Oh, God. I got a buddy. We were growing up just like that. His dad was a holiness preacher. And we were just like that growing up. He turned and went to the world deep in sin. Got married, married a girl in the church, and was unfaithful to her. Home split up, had one son. For years he's been living with a girl, not married to her, and he's been real sick in the hospital. He drank for all these years. His health is broken. He's probably going to die before long. And I called him yesterday and talked to him. I said, "How? We're getting, you know, some age on us. It's really time to get right with God." He tried to brush it off. I wouldn't let him brush it off. I'm telling you, this is serious, brother. Oh, God. This is serious. I'm telling you, it's time to get right with God. Gambling with your soul is the most precarious thing you could ever do. It's to gamble with your soul. Harold, pray. God will save you. I know it's the will of God. People be saved. And every one of us here join that cloud of witnesses at the end of life. People who stood faithful. You read about them in Hebrews chapter 12. Some of them were delivered from the sword. Others died by the sword. Some were delivered from the fire, and others died in the fire. It didn't matter whether they were delivered from it or not. They joined the witnesses on the other side. I want us to stand together this morning. There's a soul here in this place. You don't know Jesus. You've never been born again. It's time to get right with God. Not another day. Not another week spent in sin, away from Christ, gambling with our souls. It's time to get right with God. When life is over, we must join that cloud of witnesses on the other side. They're cheering us on now. Someday we'll be there cheering somebody else on. Are you lost? Have you dropped the ball? Have you dropped the truth? Have you failed to keep the fire burning? Passing that fire on down to the next generation? It's time to pray sincerely, fervently, effectively. We're going to wait just a few moments. There are people in that cloud of witnesses from this church who worshiped with us right here on these pews. Now then, they're watching, observing. They're in the grandstand. Waiting just a few moments. Altars are open. If you need God, if you need help from God in any way, what are we going to tell Christ? What are we going to tell Christ? The end of the journey. If we didn't do what we knew we should have done with our life? What are we going to tell Him? What are we going to say to Him? What excuse will we give? Why I didn't live for You? Why I didn't give my life to You? What excuse are we going to give Him on the day of judgment? We stand before God. What will we say? What will we look? We'll look at Him with a nail print in His hands. What will we say? What excuse will we give that I didn't live for You, Jesus? I shunned You, Jesus. I shut You out, Jesus. Why? Why? Why, when Jesus loves you so good and He died for you? Just another moment. Just another moment. We're going to wait. Is there one soul here lost without God? Somebody maybe is praying for your soul. A father, a mother, a grandfather, a grandmother. And they're concerned and they're interested in knowing, what are you going to do with Jesus? Brother and sister, what are we going to say to saints? Fasted, prayed, bled, died to uphold the truth. And you and I are treated so carelessly. What are we going to say to those people who handed to us the light at the cost of their life? Who handed us the Word of God, blood stained? What are we going to say to them? Well, we neglected that Word. What are we going to say to these witnesses? What are we going to say to these heroes of the faith? I feel like we ought to pray. I feel like we ought to pray. Come on in. Some soul here may come with you.